Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio. A referendum on this November's ballot would send nearly $195 million to La Crosse schools. In very, very broad strokes, the plan is to combine the city's high schools into one new school on the south side and move the middle school students into the existing high school facilities. There's more to it than that, and we'll get into all of that today on Newsmakers. La Crosse isn't alone, by the way, in requesting new funding for schools. A recent WPR.org article says there are nearly $2 billion on the table for Wisconsin's public schools in November elections, and that is a record amount as well. Joining us to talk about the La Crosse referendum is Superintendent Aaron Engel. Dr. Engel, thanks for joining us again on Newsmakers.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us today is La Crosse School Board President Juan Jimenez. Dr. Jimenez, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ezra.
So I want to just lay out the plan for people. What would this referendum do, Dr. Engel?
So this referendum proposes building one consolidated high school on a 40-acre site. It would be a comprehensive modern high school that would also renovate the existing building on that site at the former train headquarters building. And then it would allow us to move our middle school students into the existing high schools. And so that's the broad strokes of the plan as it is laid out.
And the goal for moving, consolidating the high schools into one, we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the advantages, as you've laid out before, in moving the middle schools into the existing high schools is that the middle school facilities, a couple of them in La Crosse anyway, are quite old and getting very difficult to keep up.
Yes, that's exactly the case. As we did a facility study 2 years ago, we identified our middle schools as the buildings with the greatest need. Two of them are over 80 years old, and one of our buildings is over 100 years old. And so a lot of maintenance just to keep them functioning without even being able to improve them significantly, given their layout and site. And so this plan would allow us to move our middle school students into our existing high schools, which are significantly better facilities. It would be an immediate upgrade for all of those students in terms of lab spaces, music spaces, athletic facilities. Those buildings are 40 years newer than our existing middle schools.
Dr. Jimenez, from a board perspective, I should say maybe not every board member is exactly on the same page on this issue. But from your perspective as a board member, what are the benefits to this plan?
Well, Ezra, we have one board member who did resign earlier in the month, but the board members who we do have, all eight, are in agreement that this referendum is the way to go for the school district. I will be putting an op-ed in the paper, hopefully this weekend, that where I talk about, you know, there are challenges, and most of those challenges come from the state legislature not putting public funding for public education as a top priority. So the decisions that we have to make are due to that problem. I wish that we could fund more staff and better staff pay. I wish that we could fund better facilities for career and tech ed. I wish that we could do more for next generation learning, but we can't do that because of the way the school funding formula works and how complex it is and how it's tied to student enrollment. So, you know, we are in a fiscal quandary is the best way to put it. I would say all school districts are probably feeling the pinch. I don't think we are alone. I know that Green Bay has been in the news recently for the concerns that they are seeing as well. And so we are trying to do our best to find the best possible plan to ensure that we continue to have the high quality educational opportunities that La Crosse has been known for throughout its history, while being prudent in our financial responsibilities to our taxpayers.
One of the concerns that I've heard from people is over busing, the distance that some students would have to travel to be at the new school. Not only is the new school on the south side, it's really on on the outer edges of the South Side in a lot of respects. And so some students who may be used to having their school, if they go to Logan, it might be at least within walking distance or at least a pretty short bus ride or, you know, mom or dad dropping somebody off on the way to work. Whereas now they're going to be quite a journey across town. What's the answer to that, Dr. Engel? Is it just, hey, busing happens everywhere. You kind of just have to get over it?
No, we're definitely sympathetic to changes that happen for folks where previously kids were able to walk. That was a great convenience. Absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, that's not the case for every kid in our school district. We have lots of kids that do ride the bus and they're able to participate in athletics and figure out ways to take care of their younger siblings. And so we know that we have adapted to those challenges already. This will certainly extend to a group of kids that historically had on average a 15-16 minute walk to school. Now with bus routes, you know, it'll be looking like more like on an average of a 20 to 25 minute bus ride. You know, so it's certainly a change in how things work for folks, and we're sympathetic to that and understanding. And as a result, we've got things in place to help alleviate attendance issues, second chance rides through partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club and the Good Fight. Opportunities to put in place things that we haven't had before that we're reconsidering now, late buses after practices so kids can get back to their neighborhood and walk home quickly from there. So we're definitely thinking about what those solutions are and have those ready to go in time for the construction of a new high school. I think that there's things that will be different, certainly, but there will also be huge advantages to having a new high school. Kids will have access to modern manufacturing labs and culinary arts classes, AP courses that they couldn't access before, they'll have access to now. And so yes, there are some drawbacks. There's no perfect plan, but there's also some real advantages to this plan as well.
What about concerns that this proposal might unduly favor residents of the South Side, where at least some perception is that a lot of political power has been situated, and maybe overlook concerns of North Side residents?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when schools are built new, as we look across the state and in the tri-state area, there's rarely an opportunity to build in the center of the city. You know, we would have loved if that was available. We looked at 11 different sites, evaluated all the options, talked to the city and private landowners. There's really not a lot of options in the city of La Crosse when you're looking for a 40-acre site to build a high school. And we're fortunate to even be able to look at one as an option to build a new high school. Otherwise, you know, our other options don't include this sort of an investment in our kids. And so that is certainly something that we're thinking about. You know, there's also students that have needs across our school district. You know, when we look at where kids are located and what their needs are, you know, 2/3 of our students that experience poverty live south of the La Crosse River, you know, on the traditional south side of La Crosse. You know, so there's kids everywhere in our community that have needs and need close access to their schools. And that is why we have, you know, neighborhood elementary schools to reduce that access, to increase that access as much as possible at the early stage. And this plan keeps a middle school on the north and south side of our school district as well, and investing in the north side. You know, the fiscal realities of this, of our situation, though, also dictate that we need to consider moving to one high school if we're going to continue to pay the bills and compensate teachers what we need to.
Also, I want to highlight something that Dr. Engel mentioned. We are not alone as a school district in looking and building, if we were to build a new school building on the outskirts of our school district. That's usually where you're going to find the amount of land that's needed for a new building. There's rarely opportunities in the center of town because all the residential areas are usually located in the center. So if you look at most school districts, that's usually where you're going to find the newest buildings is on the outskirts.
I have a question about the cost. A lot of people look at that price tag and they see $195 million, really $194.7 million, I think is the official number. And they say, wow, that's expensive. Of all of the almost $2 billion in referendums on the ballot this November, La Crosse's ask is the biggest ask Dr. Jimenez, is it worth it? How do you justify that cost to people who just can't conceive of that much money?
It is a large amount of money, but I would also say building costs don't get smaller the longer you wait. It is a challenge to conceive, but also we are building a brand new high school that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Engel, but I want to say 500,000 square feet. We are also including athletic facilities. We are including the renovation of a parking lot. We are talking about renovations of the high schools to be converted to fit middle school students. So there is a lot that is included in that 194.7. It is not just a building. It is including a lot more, including the furnishings, including everything that is needed to ensure that students have exactly what they need to be prepared for next generation learning. And it is not a cheap thing. It is not, and I guess what the other thing I would say is, as a parent and as a taxpayer, the last thing I want a school district to do is to scrimp on the things that my child needs to be successful for their future, whether that be an academic or career path that they want to choose to be successful in their life.
I want to ask Dr. Engel, there are other ideas that have been talked about, you know, water cooler talk. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do this? One of the ideas that has been expressed to me before is, if the current enrollment declines are what's allowing the schools to be consolidated into one, and your desire is to get kids out of the old aging middle schools, why not expand the number of grades in the high school, the existing high schools, and spend that money refurbishing them, leave them in the neighborhood, leave them as high schools, but also bring that down to like seventh grade or sixth grade in terms of attendance, upward adjust, you know, existing elementary schools to accommodate the rest of the students and still get them out of the old middle schools and leave people with high schools in their neighborhood?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we've had lots of different plans that were brought to the school board to explore. And that idea of a 612 or 712 building was definitely one of those that was explored early in the process. And one of the reasons, you know, it didn't move forward was because, as our school board members talked to other parents, they found that they were concerned about having their 12-year-old in the same building as an 18-year-old. Different developmental levels, different understandings about the world, different educational models. And the way our current high schools are set up, it's very difficult to kind of keep those kids separated. It would be a massive investment to try and make that work. And it wouldn't lead to better facilities for kids, just different ones. And so that was a concern. And then the second concern is that it didn't meet one of our primary challenges head on. It didn't address our budget deficits in the long term. It would have combined middle school students, allowing for efficiencies there, and moving out of those old middle school buildings would certainly be a great benefit. But it doesn't put our high school students together in one building. And that is what allows us to get efficiencies at the high school level with fewer staff and fewer resources needed to educate those students. And additionally, you know, it wouldn't provide the opportunities our kids are asking for at the high school level. We would still have too few kids signed up for a class at Logan and Central to be able to run. Let's say that they're interested in a welding one class. We have 9 students signed up at Logan and 6 students signed up at Central. We couldn't run it at either school, but together in one high school, we'd be able to run that course and offer a career pathway for kids that leads to really great jobs in our community. We also aren't able to offer multiple sections of crucial classes for kids. We've got kids looking to go off to college that want to take AP calculus. In our current setup, we might only be able to offer that once per day. And that means if you've got a conflict with band or a conflict with another AP class like AP biology, you don't get a chance to take that class in your high school career. And so we're not able to prepare kids for the secondary education that they want as well either. And so while I appreciate that idea, and it is something that we explored, it just doesn't meet our challenges, provide the opportunities our kids need. And it was screened out in part for safety concerns.
the school, you're talking about the new school. Parts of there will have to be completely new construction for parts of the school, but part of it is going to be in a refurbished building. And of the existing high schools, Logan is the newest, built maybe in the late 70s or early 80s, if my memory is right. But Central is much older than that. And the building that you're renovating for the new school, if the plan succeeds, is about as old as Central High School. So what's the difference between renovating that building versus renovating the building you already own?
Yeah, the primary difference is the space available. You know, having 40 acres and being able to expand to hold 1,800 students, and then to put in the comprehensive athletic facilities and parking facilities, that's one of the biggest differences. You know, the Central was built in 1967, so it's about 12 years older than Logan High. The train facility was also built in 1967. And while it is, you know, a little bit older, the core of the building is in great shape. We had engineers take a look at it to understand what that looks like. And while it would be pretty much completely gutted, you know, electrical, HVAC, roofing, windows, flooring, etc., the concrete structure that holds it up is in great condition. And it's strong enough for us to even put a third floor on the south side of the building. And so that core of that building, about 250,000 square feet, would be completely renovated to accommodate the classrooms and labs that our kids need. And we'd be putting on, over 300,000 feet of additions for a performing arts center, band, choir, orchestra classrooms, career and technical education labs for advanced manufacturing, culinary arts, agri-science, some incredible opportunities that we don't currently have for our kids. And then, of course, athletic facilities as well. And so it would be a complete renovation of the existing structure with many additions in order to meet our needs for the future and to really prepare kids for the jobs that they'll be taking on in the next decades.
Dr. Engel has mentioned in a couple different ways what he is referring to positively in terms of additional academic offerings that might be able to be offered by consolidating the school. Dr. Jimenez, does this get people closer to some of these things? Are like job training skills almost, and anymore, if you can finish high school, but if you don't go on to get some form of advanced education beyond that, by some studies, you're going to be out, you know, millions of dollars over the course of your career. Will this kind of educational opportunity allow students to be able to leave high school and immediately get a job in one of those kinds of fields like Dr. Engel is talking about? Or would it give them maybe easier access to post-secondary education?
Well, I think one of the things that I am really grateful for Dr. Engel's leadership is the focus on career and technical education and bringing on Dr. Britta Rotering. And one of the things that I'm really advocating for in this referendum is the focus on career and tech ed and really ensuring that we have high quality career tech ed areas so that our students, if they are not looking for a four-year degree, are still going to have those opportunities. And we have those currently in our school district. But as you well know, Ezra, times change, technology changes, technology changing pretty quickly. And so our students do need the most up-to-date opportunities available. And so there's some great partnerships, there's some great internship opportunities and work-based learning opportunities. So we have those. I feel that going through this referendum and having these new spaces available to our students only can increase the ability of our students to get those opportunities in greater numbers, in greater quantities, in greater opportunities, in greater areas that and they're going to be in areas that we can't even fathom at this point in time. They're areas that haven't even been invented yet. That is the most amazing part for me. So yes, I mean, I think that there are plenty of opportunities. And actually, my child who graduated this year is looking to be an electrician. And I had that opportunity to go through one of the academies at Central High School to be able to go on and not have to worry about getting a four-year degree or you know, go, even a two-year degree is able to go right on into the apprenticeships. So that is one of the most amazing opportunities that the School District of La Crosse has. And wouldn't it be amazing if we became the school district of choice for career and technical education in Western Wisconsin?
Dr. Engel, how locked in is this plan? If people vote to support this referendum, the artist renderings that you've showed of what the school would look like, the design plans that are there currently, like are they voting for that specific plan, or are they basically voting for the broad concept and the funding mechanism?
So those are conceptual views at this point. We know that that space allocation works, and we know that that arrangement would meet our needs. The end result will look very similar to that, but you know, there's lots of details to be worked out. You know, in the year that it will take us to design this facility, we'll be working closely with our own teachers, with experts across the state, to understand what it is needed in each of those spaces for a science classroom, for an English classroom. We already have a good idea, but we also need the voices of our own teachers, our own staff, to really have that input, so that it meets our needs here in La Crosse, not just generally.
What's the timeline? You talked about a year, if the referendum passes, a year to sort of plan and get designs in order and those kinds of things. When could people realistically expect this school to actually open?
Yeah, so it would be about a year to design and do initial prep work, and then it would be about 3 years to construct. So we'd be looking at 2026. For opening the building.
And the school district is having a whole bunch of informational sessions. I know we missed a couple of them. We got our earlier election coverage out of the way, and now we have time to talk about this. And so there are still plenty of opportunities, though, for people to hit an in-person meeting or grab an online meeting where this is going to be discussed. Where can people find out? I don't know if you want to go through the whole list or just tell people where they can find information on where those meetings are and when.
Yeah, our website has a whole ton of information, including when our information sessions are, as well as a bunch of frequently asked questions and supporting documents from the last 2 years of work that we've put in to support this, including past surveys, population studies, facility assessments, et cetera. But our next informational session is September 8th. It's virtual, you know, so go to our website, click the link, jump on in. And then we have another one in person on September 20th, and then four more in October to give folks an opportunity to learn more. We've had great attendance so far, 50 or 60 people at each of the meetings, some great questions, great ideas. And so we've been able to help get folks informed so that they can make a great decision for themselves on November 8th.
Now, people are used to some of these forums being held, and somebody asked me whether I knew, and I don't, so I'll just ask you. Are these sessions where, like, if people come with a question, are you going to, in that space, answer their question, or is that like a feedback session kind of thing where you're going to listen to their concern and write it down and not have a whole lot to say?
Yeah, we spend about 15 minutes giving some just cursory background for how we got here and what the plan looks like, and then we take about an hour for just Q&A on the spot. Raise your hand. We'll call on you. We'll answer your question as best we can. But then we also leave some time for folks to answer questions, to ask questions in a smaller group. We've got curriculum experts there and buildings and grounds experts and financial experts. We know not everybody feels comfortable asking a question in a large group. So we provide opportunities to ask kind of on the side with a smaller group as well. And then for the physical in-person opportunities, we also have our building maintenance folks there, our building engineers, and they give a tour of the facility that we're at, Logan Middle, Logan or Longfellow, and Lincoln, so that people can see the condition of the facilities, and that can help them make a decision as well.
So if people want to find the information that you mentioned is on your website, where do they go?
Yeah, go to www.lacrosseschools.org/referendum. So www.lacrosseschools.org/referendum. Everything you need should be there.
Superintendent Aaron Engel has been with us. Dr. Engel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And La Crosse School Board President Juan Jimenez has been here as well. Dr. Jimenez, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ezra. We really appreciate this.
Certainly. Coming up, hear from a Logan High grad and a La Crosse business owner who speak out against the new school referendum, and that's coming up next. You can email us anytime through the week on this or any other issue. Our email address is newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Wisconsin studio. We are talking about La Crosse Public Schools this week on Newsmakers. In particular, a referendum that's going in front of voters this upcoming election would raise nearly $195 million. And the plan for that is to build a new single high school for the La Crosse School District and make various other changes to the configuration of the city's whole school system, including eliminating a couple of older middle schools. But like I said, the big ticket item would be a new single high school where students who currently go to Central and Logan High Schools would merge. And we're talking about that today on Newsmakers. And joining us now to talk about why she and many other people in the area do not support that referendum is Carla Doolittle from NoNewSchool.com. That's the group of parents and other concerned folks that she's working with. Carla, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thank you so much.
And let me go through the rest of your bona fides here. You are an 86 Logan grad, go Rangers, and a local business owner and property owner as well. So many different roots in the community, not to mention you're connected with all sorts of people from all walks of life who are speaking out on this referendum issue as well. So briefly, just to get us started in our conversation, talk about the main reasons that you're not in favor of the referendum.
The biggest issue is the $194 million over, you know, the course of, 20 years or so at a 3% interest. That's an additional $50 million on top of that number. So it's kind of like, is that really the true number? Is that really what we're going to be paying for? And what doesn't that include? Does that include everything? Does that include all the busing of the 720 kids from the north side of La Crosse to the far south side of the La Crosse? And I just think that the maintenance that a lot of the other schools need, you could do it for less than half the price of that. And so I just think that $194 million and it's not a new school, it's a renovated 1968 building. So a lot of people get that confused because it's a 1968 building they're going to renovate and then add to.
So one of the things that the school district has said, Dr. Engel has talked about this, not just in relation to this referendum, but throughout the conversations that I've had with him, he's talked about the intended lifespan of the schools that exist right now and how the high schools are older than that and a couple of the middle schools are way, way older than that. But you're pointing out here that the facility that they're actually moving into is at least of similar age to the high schools that exist. So if you can renovate that building, why can't you renovate the existing schools?
Correct. I mean, Central was built in either 67 or 68, and Logan High School was built in 79, I believe. Now, I realize that a couple of the elementary schools are in pretty harsh condition. I think it's Lincoln that the boiler is probably going to go on this winter, and rumor has it that that'll be closed sometime whenever that boiler goes, and then the kids will have to be moved to different Longfellow or Lincoln Middle. In the middle of a school year. So hopefully that boiler makes it through this year. Would be nice for those kids not to have to move in the middle of a year. Logan has a football field, a baseball field, a pool, and this renovated 1968 building out there in Pamel Creek will not have a competition football field. I mean, they're going to have a practice field, but no bleachers, no games to be played out there. So you're going to be busing kids to all these baseballs, footballs, tracks, you know. So I'm like, I don't understand why you would spend, you know, almost $200 million to get a building that doesn't even allow to have sporting events at the school. That doesn't make sense in my mind, and to a lot of other people's minds too.
Now, are any of your concerns eased looking at the $194+, nearly $195 million, as you pointed out? It is a lot of money to spend to build one school. But if I am reading correctly, a lot of the money goes, yes, to refurbish the existing building and put on the additional square footage that's needed for the other facilities there. But then also some of that money would be applied to retrofitting what under the plan would become the old high schools, which would turn into middle schools, and to sort of domino effect down the line to other schools that would be affected.
I believe the money that's in there is supposed to take care of retrofitting if we were to move the high school kids all into the technically new school. You would move all the elementary kids into the two high schools. I think that's how the plan goes. You might want to ask Dr. Engel for some clarification, because to me, there's only 1,254 middle school students enrolled in Lincoln, Longfellow, and Logan, and the capacity of the two high schools is like 2,700, so you'd have a lot of extra room in there. I don't get that either, but I don't know. Maybe they're moving all the middle schoolers into one school, but then you'd have to bus all of the kids to two different ends of town. You know, that would be kind of strange, too.
We're talking to Carla Doolittle today on Newsmakers. She is, as you've gathered from our conversation, not in favor of the school referendum that's going to be on the ballot this November. She's an 86 Logan grad, and her family has owned a small business on La Crosse's north side for, oh gosh, over 50 years. How long has the jewelry store been there, Carla?
The store has actually been there since 1931.
Okay, way over 50 years then.
Yeah.
With deep roots in La Crosse, and particularly the north side of La Crosse, you went to Logan. You said you graduated in 86, so it was a pretty new school when you went there. What was that experience like going to Logan back in the 80s?
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons that I went to Logan was our family moved into town. We had previously lived in Holman, and we were country kids, and we got bused to school, you know. And so my mom had six kids, and she was not going to be picking up kids after school and da-da-da-da-da, shuffling them here and to and fro. And so we moved to the city, two blocks away from the high school, six blocks away from the middle school, and, you know, six blocks away from the elementary school. And so, again, moving this school to Pamel Creek would have huge impact on the home values on the north side of La Crosse, the Campbell, the Madary. It just, why would any family want to move to this neighborhood or this area when the school is 20 minutes away, you know? And I just, people live in the city to have their kids walk or bike to school. I mean, the bikes are huge, and you're going to take all that option for these kids away by moving a school to way out there. Who's going to ride their bike that far in the middle of winter?
You run a small business, as we pointed out, and you own property on that side of town, and your personal economy is very much tied into that. What are other economic impacts of not just closing Logan, but of all these moving pieces?
Well, I think it's I mean, the cost to the taxpayers, again, interest on $195 million is going to be $50 million over 20, 23 years. And I just think there's so many more costs that they're going to be expecting, like the busing, the uniforms, the getting them to the sporting events. Plus, you're also going to need the maintenance and infrastructure that the school district is now saying is $81 million. That's still all going to be needed for all the rest of the schools, maybe minus one middle school, but that's all still going to be needed. So are we going to be asked for another referendum in a year or two? I don't know.
So Some of the things that the school district is hoping to address through the referendum are just realities of running a school district, advancing technology and older buildings that were not built with that technology in mind, modern expectations of not only parents but also professional teachers associations and different people who establish academic standards and those kinds of things. Other than this plan that would combine the schools into one and make one sort of, what they're hoping would be a very modern facility at one location in La Crosse. Besides that kind of plan, how could the district address, what are other ways that you would be in favor of that the district could address the developing needs of a modern educational system?
Well, I think if you're going to remodel that 1968 building to new and shiny, pretty technology, you could renovate half the schools in the city. You know, for the amount of money you're spending, I don't understand why you can't renovate the schools you have. I mean, minus the two oldest schools, which is Emerson and Lincoln, I believe, are the two oldest ones, but I'm not sure. I mean, that's a great question that Mr. Engel can maybe answer, is what are the positives other than a shiny new school? Because you could make any school a shiny new school for a lot less than $195 million.
Dr. Engel has said, and he got in a lot of hot water for the way he expressed it initially, but he basically said that the financial reality of the school district, when you consider enrollment and all these other things, is that it's probably not, in his estimation, realistic to have two high schools in La Crosse going forward. And he said there's a strong possibility, at least one of the options that they would seriously be considering over the next 5 years or so, would be to consolidate those schools anyway. And so what are your thoughts on the potential consolidation without the potential of a new school facility?
So, you know, I mean, one of my biggest peeves is the surveys that were sent out in the city of La Crosse. And the first survey that went out said that the enrollment between Central and Logan was 1,801 students. And it said the capacity of Central High School was 1,500 students, and the capacity of Logan High School is 1,072 students. And so for him to say, well, if the referendum doesn't get passed, we're just going to put all the kids at Central, but maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. And I'm like, so you're telling me that now you can fit 1,800 students into Central when the first survey said the capacity for Central was 1,560 students? That just doesn't make any sense in my mind. I'm like, well, is that the real number? Can they actually fit 1,800 students in there? Or was it 1,560 like the survey said? So those are really good questions that I would love to have an answer for, because I think that both Survey 1 and Survey 2 that were sent out were completely biased, and there were no good ways to answer that no. I think a lot of people said, yes, something has to be done, but I think the plan was already in place by the time these surveys went out. I mean, he showed the plan to the teachers back in April, but that didn't get published on the website until maybe a month ago or so.
So you're saying it seemed a bit like an answer in search of a question?
Correct, yeah. The cart was way before the horse. The plan was already in place. That's how it feels.
You've talked about the difficulty in all of the transportation of all these students, some who live quite a distance from what would be their new school location, and you relayed that to your personal experience, your mother's experience of having so many kids and being frustrated with the concept of getting people back and forth to school. Would you be more willing to accept a consolidation plan if there was a way to have it more centrally located? Like how much of a factor is the actual location of the new school in your objection to it?
If I drive from Logan High School to the train plant on a Tuesday night at 8 p.m., it takes 16 minutes. That's without any traffic on a Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. I have not driven it personally at 7:30 in the morning or 3:30 in the afternoon, but I can only imagine. I drove from the north side to the south side for my job, and I know it was a pain every morning. I hated that drive. I'm like, if there was a freeway through here, it'd be great. But anyway, I think that I just don't think he has a plan. I mean, when asked about busing all those kids, he's like, we might need to add another bus route because a lot of the kids take the buses already. I'm like, yeah, but a lot of them don't. So what's the plan? I mean, it's hard to find bus drivers right now as it is. So I just feel like, and right now the school district sometimes has problems busing kids to sporting events where there is no bus and it has to rely on parents to get the kids to the sporting events. And I'm like, that's going to be a hardship for anybody that is economically challenged or, you know, I have working parents outside the home at that time, you know, it's going to be a hardship for, and then are we just going to lose those children slipping through the cracks? That's what I worry about, too.
Carla, you and other concerned residents have a website, nonewschool.com, and a Facebook group, the name of which is too long for me to remember. So tell me what the name of your Facebook page is.
It is Opposed to Combining La Crosse's Central and Logan High Schools.
And as you've been sort of reaching out to parents and other concerned residents about that, what kind of reaction have you seen from the community? What's that process been like for you?
Well, somebody said it best yesterday, and he said, you know, the one thing that the school board has done is unified the north side and the south side. So the Southsiders, I think a lot of them, at least the ones I've been talking to, feel exactly the same way because 1,800 students in a school with, are they going to have a resource officer? Are they not going to have a resource officer? Are they going to have two resource officers? Are they going to have none? What's the answer to that question? But 1,800 students in one school, Central has, you know, they have 1,000 kids right now, and there's brutal fighting going on in that school, and it might happen at Logan too. But I'm just thinking you put that many kids together and that's going to be a huge safety issue. And I don't think right now you can't keep it under control at both schools. What's it going to be like when it's one school?
Yeah, we've been centering a lot of our, just because of where you live and the part of town where you are most impacted with your business and everything. We've been talking a lot about Logan. But the Central parents don't face quite the potential busing issue that that Logan parents would if the schools are indeed combined and go to the new facility. But what are some of the objections that you're hearing from your counterparts in the community who are residents of the South Side and would be closer to the new proposed site?
Well, their big thing is the number of students. And, I mean, just and the traffic that will be increased in that residential area out there because there's an elementary school right next door. I think it's an elementary school. You know, so there's going to be so much more traffic for all those people back there in that area that a lot of those folks are not happy about having this school going in back there. So that's huge. But the number of students and the assurances that your student can be safe in there and not get lost through the cracks, through the, you know, missing. You just get lost in a school that size. And I mean, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to do much good to have that many kids. If you have two schools, if you keep the community in, if you keep the schools in the neighborhoods, it keeps the community together. And so this isn't really just affecting the children. It's affecting the whole city of La Crosse. And the whole dynamic, because if you take our kids out of our neighborhoods, what if I got two kids at home making them dinner and I got to go pick them up at a ballpark or a field or because there's no busing? I mean, this is going to impact everyone in the city of La Crosse, not just the north side.
So one of the things that could possibly, I mean, if you're putting all of the students from two high schools into one high school, I would imagine at some point there's the potential for that school to be listed in a higher classification in terms of enrollment and might put them on par in terms of academic competition, athletic competition, those kinds of things with bigger, more high-profile schools in the state. Do you think that would create any advantage for the city of La Crosse or the school district in general? Is that a thing that's worth considering?
I guess I'm not that familiar with that. I don't know what the stats on something like that would be. I mean, I know if you have all the kids in one school, they, you know, half of the kids that were on a team are not going to be on a team. I know this much. As far as being like a, I don't know whether they call them like D1 schools or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand that world. That's not where I come from, so I don't understand that. So I
can't. Fair enough. So I'm interested in learning more about how people can become involved with your group if they want to. Are you having any events or are there opportunities for people to volunteer or get a sign to put in their yard or something like that?
Oh my goodness, yes, we have all of those opportunities available. You just go to our No New School website and you can volunteer. You can donate. We have yard signs that just simply say vote no on the 194 because, again, it's a citywide issue. It's not just a north side thing. It's not a south side thing. It's a whole city thing. And $194 million plus interest plus all the extras that aren't included. I mean, I think Logan High School just spent $70,000 on band uniforms. You know, I mean, are there going to be new band uniforms in this $194 million, or are the parents going to have to fundraise again for the next 7 years? Things like that you don't think about, you know?
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate your perspective today. I want to ask you about the school district is having a series of information sessions, two virtual ones, September 8th and October 5th are virtual meetings. And then they have at various locations, they have in-person information sessions on September 7th and 20th and October 6th, 18th, and 26th. I'm wondering, like, are these sessions that you're encouraging your membership to attend, or how do you feel the school district is presenting itself in these sessions?
Yeah, I am encouraging every single person in the city of La Crosse to attend. Because it really starts to show what the answers are that are known and what the answers are that there aren't any answers for, and what the questions are that get avoided. And I think those open house sessions are huge because this was all kind of a surprise when the open houses happened in April and May. It was not public. You hardly saw it. It wasn't publicized. It was like it just happened, you know. And then it's like, wait a minute, you sent that out a week before the event on a, you know, for a Wednesday night meeting when people have confirmation and practices and everybody's, you know, everybody's doing something. And so it was very difficult for a lot of people to get there. So I think that the La Crosse School Board has done a better job of promoting it socially and not just targeting the older than 50s. Who seem to be the ones that respond most to surveys and who vote. So it would be nice if the youngers would be targeted. It would be good if the school district sent all the parents of elementary school, middle schoolers, you know, those people should all be getting personal emails, not just the high schoolers.
Well,
from the school to inform them.
If people want to check out that schedule, it is on the district's website, lacrosseschools.org. And Carla, I want to give you another opportunity to let people know where they can learn about your efforts and the people that you're working with.
Yep. It's opposed to combining La Crosse's Central and Logan High Schools. It's a Facebook page, and we have put the schedule out there, and we'll probably keep you updated on different facts and figures out there. So it's lots of useful information, and you can go to No New School and donate. You can get a yard sign, you can volunteer, all of those things we'll be looking for, because this is huge, and I think the more people we can get involved, the better.
Carla Doolittle, I appreciate your perspective very much. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And this is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Of course, the referendum we've been talking about is going to be on the ballot on Tuesday, November 8th. And so that election coming up right around the corner. And you'll hear more about that and other races on Newsmakers in the coming weeks. Hear how you can listen to our program. Here's how you can listen to us every week. We're on Friday mornings at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And we're always online at WPR.org/newsmakers. My producer is Kate Spranger. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next time for another Newsmakers here on Wisconsin Public Radio.